Today's daf is Masechet Shavuot, daf Dalet, and we're holding right at the end of the line of the first third of the daf, in which we said Mishnah Lo Zaza B'Mekoma, and we explained how it is that we could work out that Mishnah. Because we had a basic question. Is the Mishnah going Aliba to Rabbi Yishmael or Aliba to Rabbi Akiva? Actually, can't go according to either of them. I mean, part can go according to one, part can go according to one, but there's no way for it to be consistent, because if you're going to learn that it's going like Rabbi Yishmael, then you have a problem with the Shnayim Shein Arba when it comes to Shvuat Bitui. Because according to him, only a Shvuah that would be the way it's written, Lahara Laetiv, into the future, is B'chayav Yerukor. If you're going a little bit to Rabbi Akiva holds that V'ne'alam V'hutamei, so the Na'alama has to be on the Tuma, and that only gives you two possible Ha'alamot, which is Helim Tuma for Migdash and Helim Tuma for Kodesh. But you don't bring a korban if there's going to be a ha'alama for the fact that this is a migdash, knowing the tuma, the fact that this is kodesh, knowing the tuma, that doesn't work out either. So yediyot ha'tuma doesn't work out a libet Rabbi Akiva, shvua doesn't work out a libet Rabbi Shmuel. And yet the Tana supposedly is saying shnayim shein arba across the board, all four cases. So what did you do so far? Says the Gemara b'mayukim. All right, so where are we at? Where we're at right now is that we said, well, the Mishnah could work out a Libra to Rabbi Yishmael, because the only thing that Rabbi Yishmael held was that there's no carbon, you see, but there definitely is Malkus. So therefore, maybe the Mishnah is referring to Malkus, and it's not referring to carbon at all. How do you get now to Malkot if it's a Lav She'en Bo Maaseh to say that you ate something, let's say you didn't eat something. So that we said before, maybe he would learn out from Rava, that we darshan the Lashav in the Luchot, to tell me that there's a Malkus anyway, because it says Lo Yinakeh Hashem, which means Hashem Lo Yinakeh, but Beit Din will be Minakeh. Hi, how do you get Malkut? I'm reviewing this because we're going to see we're going to have a problem with it. How do you get Malkut on saying a Shvua Le'atid, I will eat a bowl of soup today, when you don't eat it, since that's completely passive? At the time that you said it, you didn't say why, and now you're just not doing something to be Mekayim it. So we had to say that according to Rabbi Yishmael, Alav She'en Bo Maaseh, Lo Kin Alav. That way everything works out, okay? But it only works out if the common denominator, the thread that the Mishnah is trying to tell us, is a thread that goes through four cases of Malkus. Problem is, the Mishnah does not have such a thread. Because that Mar'ot Nega'im. What does Mar'ot Nega'im have to do with Malkus? Mar'ot Nega'im is a din of Tuma. It's not a din of doing something wrong. So the four cases of Mar'ot Nega'im could only be Nogea bringing a korban. Because every Mitzorah needs to bring a korban as part of his Tohorah. And therefore, it has nothing to do with the case, according to the way you're learning, of the Shvuas or the Tuma, all of which concern Malkus, you're claiming now. So Marot Negaim asks the Gemara, what kind of Malkut could there be by Marot Negaim? My Malkutika. Well, there is. The Kutzitz Beharato. The case could be where somebody had a Negatzara, they cut it off. So you would be chayev for that, because it says, Yishamer B'Negatzara. And we know that the word Yishamer, if you're like Rav Avin Amar Bilah, Amar Rav Avin Amar Bilah, Koma Kom Shinemar Yishamer. Or the word ten, or the word al, is the equivalent of saying lo, don't do it. And therefore it's a lo ta'aseh. So v'meila, now that you know that there's an isur lav of kutzitz baheret, if I tell you that there are four types of negatzarat, baheret sa'et, and then sapachata baheret, sapachata sa'et, which is told up, so then you're discussing malchus. Indirectly, albeit, but malchus. And what about yitziyot ha'shabbat? What are you going to do about yitziyot ha'shabbat? There's no malchus for Shabbos. If you're Bechalel Shabbat, then it's a Chiyuv Mita. Ella, what are you going to say? Maybe the guy didn't give him a Hatra'ah for Mita. He only gave him a Hatra'ah for Malkut. The problem is that the Lav of the Isser of Chilul Shabbos is a Lav Shenitan Lazarat Mitat Beidin, Lo Taseh Kol Melacha. And that Mitat Beidin means you cannot use that Lav for an Azarah for Malkut. So you don't have Malkut for Shabbat. So now what are you going to do? We lose the thread again. You managed to persuade me. There's three cases. We're talking about Malkus, but the fourth case, how do you get Malkut there? So my Malkutika, is it not a Lav Shnitan Lazarat Mitat Beitinu? And is the rule not that V'chol Lav Shnitan Lazarat Mitat Beitin Ein Lokin Alav? Ah, well, you see, I'll bet you were wondering, why I tried to make the Mishnah work out according to Rabbi Shmuel, not like Rabbi Akiva. I mean, anybody normal would try to make it work out a little bit of Rabbi Akiva, which is the general source of the Mishnayot. Now you've stumbled over my hidden reasoning. This is the reason. Yishuvachikom ukminik Rabbi Shmuel all along. This is why I kept insisting the Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel. Because I knew we were going to get to this point where you were going to ask, so where is there a common thread? And indeed, Rabbi Shmuel Shita is the Yomar Lav Shnitan Lazarat Midat Beitin. We are looking on. Huh? You see? And then, so this now ties into the whole discussion we had in the second Makot. Everything is not coming back here in the beginning of Shavuot. But let me get this straight. Are you trying to tell me that the only reason that I'm not to understand that the Mishnah is going on Libra Rabbi Shmuel is because the argument breaks down in Rabbi Akiva at this point about whether Lav Shnitan Lazarat Mitat Beitin Lokina Lav or not? Baby. The argument Rabbi Akiva broke down ages ago. Let's try to do this with Rabbi Akiva and see whether it makes any sense. Because you're trying to tell me that what? That Halav Akiva wouldn't be for this fatal problem that we're going to run into Lav Shnitan Lazarat Mitat Beitin where Rabbi Akiva said that over there the din is ain Lokina Lav. But not for that, Kaimak Rabbi Akiva. Then everything would work out like Rabbi Akiva. I've got to see this. We started off with a problem, Rabbi Akiva. The problem was, Yudiyot HaTumah, according to Rabbi Akiva, are two, not four. He doesn't hold of Tum'at Migdash. You forget the Migdash. He only holds you forget the Tum'at. He doesn't hold of Tum'at V'Achilat Kodesh, that you forget the Kodesh. He only holds you forget the Tum'at. Where do you get Shtayim Shein Arba? That was our original question. So how are you going to answer that original question? All right, what do you mean, how am I going to answer it? You went along with me right away. I mean, we were all agreed that when I tried to tell you it's going like Rabbi Shmuel and the Mishnah's talking about Malkus, you were perfectly happy. We could have done the same thing for Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva only said there's no din of Halama. What does that have to do with Malkus? There is an Isser of walking into the Beit HaMikdash Betuma. Thank you. So then we've got an Isser Malkus. That's all we're talking about. So Lamalkot. What Malkot? What does Yediot have to do with Malkot? I mean, there's no such thing as Yediah. Well, you're talking about Malkot. I mean, first of all, there's no such thing as a Halama for Malkot. There's nothing to do with Shogun. If you're talking about a Yediah, then a Yediah per se anyway is not enough. That the fact that somebody knew something is Osir, he's not going to be Chayav of Malkot until he got Hatra'ah. So then you would need Hatra'ah. I understand the word doesn't even make sense. It should say, if you're going to say anything, it should say Hatra'ot. Okay, fine, so say Hatra'ot. I mean, Hatra'ot, Yediot. I mean, Hatra'ot are just there to ensure that there's a Yediot. So we're using the word loosely, okay? So Halokash, it doesn't bother me so much. Tni Yediot of Hatra'ot. Okay, I can't believe you're doing this. So where do you get Shnayim Shein Arba then? What's the Shnayim Shein Arba? Shnayim Shein Arba is only Nogea where there is a point that I knew and forgot. You could say, there's four variants over here. I can forget the fact that I'm Tomei when I walk into the Mikdash. I can forget the fact that I'm Tomei and eat Kodesh. I can forget that this is the Mikdash. I can forget that this is Kodesh. When it comes to Malkus, all I need to know is two things. You are Tomei and you are about to do an Isser. That's all. There's two cases. There are two cases and only two cases. I have to tell you either, hey, your tummy and you're walking into the base of Mikdash. That's one case. Hey, your tummy and you're about to eat Kodesh. That's the second case. Now tell me, four cases. Go ahead. Shnayim Shein Arba. I don't know what you're talking about. Not to mention the fact. And continue reading. Yesh bo yediyah b'tchilah, yediyah b'sof. What sof? What tchilah? I thought we're talking about Hatra'ot. There is no sof. There is no tchilah. I mean, it makes not one word sticks to the next. You're going to try to stick into this Mishnah Malkus. The whole thing was crazy. I don't know how I went along with you. Forget about Rabbi Akiva. How did I go along with the Rabbi Shmuel? I was out of my mind. Now, the truth is, of course, that any idiot who reads the Mishnah, as soon as he starts listening to Gemara, knows that this is futility. Because the entire Mishnah is focused on Korbanos. One carbon after another. And which carbon? That's what takes care of the carbon out of the Yared, whether it's Yediyah B'Tchilah, Yediyah B'Sof. What happens if there's no Yediyah B'Sof? What happens if it's no Yediyah B'Tchilah? What happens if it's B'Mezi? Which carbon is from a chaper? You go to this Sawyer, that Sawyer, this Sawyer, that Palmer. I understand how anybody in his right mind could think that the Mishnah was talking about Malkus. I mean, you have to literally bracket your brain in order to go in for any of this. So the point is, as Rashi brings, not here, but in other places, that this is the derech of the Gemara, to always do this, to walk you through the machine language. What is going on in your brain? Let's say you would have immediately Listen to my question. Who's the Mishnah going according to? Is it Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yishmael? You, if you had been thinking straight, would have immediately seen that to be an impossible question to answer. Because essentially, you would have blinked and intuitively noted that, of course, I can't get into anything else. We're obviously stuck with Korban. But how do you come to understand the stages by which your brain arrives at that conclusion? The Gemara is there in order to teach you the machine language of Torah. And therefore, it walks you through the logical steps, which you may have seen intuitively. That's true. But the more you're aware of those steps, the more intuitive is your ability, the more real is your intuitive ability, I should say, and the more effective is your intuitive ability. And this is the problem, by the way, of teaching computers common sense. In other words, there is no way to make, in terms of computer language, a general approach to everything that will allow a computer to use common sense. So in other words, to us it's obvious that if you walk into a room and the only other person in the room is the guy holding the knife and the other person is dead, we don't need to walk through the steps of if this, then that, and so on. We arrived very early in infancy at those steps, and our brain was programmed to immediately conclude, even though in order to prove it to you in a logical algorithm, I would have to take many steps to prove that. I'd have to go through the assumptions that are made and the givens that we take into consideration. And therefore, I would conclude that it's you who are the murderer. Okay, in the Gemara, the same thing is true. Except that the meaning in the Gemara is that I need to learn that. And not only that, I need to see the various issues that the Mishnah does force us to confront. And remember, this is one of the strongest issues of Teresh Papa in general, is that the genius of the construction of the Mishnah is that it forces you to confront issues that you have no idea have anything to do with the surface level of what it is that you're studying, by creating impossible circumstances that make you go through these kinds of thoughts and break it apart so that you need to touch all types of fundamentals. Look how many fundamentals we're touching on over here. The question of Lav Shein Bo Ma'aseh, the question of an Azor Sheyesh Bo Midat Din, the general approaches of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael in terms of Klal Uprat, Ribi Umiyot, as we're gonna get into today. The overall relationship of this strange structure of Shnayim Shein Arba. What is the thread that connects the four issues of Shnayim Shein Arba? Focusing on the difference between Yediya and Ahatra'ah, etc., etc. I mean, there's hundreds of things that we never would have even thought about for a moment if we hadn't been forced to confront these issues. So it's true, in the end, the Gemara is going to say, you do understand that this is an exercise in futility, because you already would have arrived at the conclusion that there's no point in searching for these alternatives, because in the sense of the context, the Mishnah is obviously carbon-focused. Okay, but why is the Mishnah carbon-focused? Think about that. Did Shnayim Shein Arba force you to be carbon-focused? So we want to get down to Rebbe's thinking. And in the end, that's what we're going to do here. So first of all, I don't understand why you're talking about the word Yediyot. I don't understand why you're talking about Shnayim Shein Arba. There's only two. I don't understand why you're talking about Yediyah B'Tchila, V'Yediyah B'Sof, and Helem B'Natan. What do you mean Helem? What is forgetting after with Malkus? The whole point of Malkus is that you know what you're doing. Halama. Halama la Malkut Mayavidate. What the heck? Would anyone intelligent speak about the word Halama in the context of Malkus? Contradiction to the whole meaning. Not to mention, you know, the Mishnah does say, I raise up all of the already. I don't know what I was thinking. We were talking about a carbon all along. So this was all ridiculous. From the beginning, it was ridiculous. Elam, Rabbi Yosef, forget about it. Who's to say that necessarily the Mishnah represents the consistent opinion of either Rabbi Yishmael or Rabbi Akiva? In fact, this Mishnah is Rebbe. And it's Rebbe's thought of how it is that we could have a pattern of four examples of Shnayim Shein Arba if you would take into consideration all of the possibilities. Now, I'm not saying that I necessarily hold of Rabbi Akiva in this, Rabbi Shmuel in that, but I'm saying if you take all the permutation of the Shitot, then you could, if you hold Alibet of Rabbi Yishmael when it comes to Yediyot HaTumah, and you hold of Rebbe when it comes to the question of Shvuat Bitui, and you put those Shitot together, and you add in the Din of Shabbat, the Marot Negaim, then you have these four cases that have a common denominator of Korban. Maybe that's all that Rebbe is saying. And that's fair, because once again, a Mishnah is not necessarily constructed to bring you the halacha, the Mishnah, is constructed to bring you the structure and the pattern of the Torah Shebaal Peh, and therefore it's fair for it to actually represent inconsistent permutation. This is an extremely important idea, because it happens to be that the end result of 1,500 years of this has left us with a Shulchan Aruch that is inconsistent. There's barely a word in the Shulchan Aruch that's consistent. The reason for that is that the permutations of Torah Shebaal Peh are allowed to mutate in ways that do not represent any particular individual's approach. Because since there are all these permutations, starting with the tour, where we started adding up Shitot and pretending that we were the equivalent of the Beit Din, that was going to take a vote, but you think that all the Piskei Beit Din throughout the generations are consistent, they're by definition inconsistent. And therefore, when we go and set you up a list of Piskei Halachot, which may represent balances, well, since in this particular case, maybe Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel argue, but then there's also Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Akiva. In this case, Rabbi Shmuel and that, so to speak. So you can have two against one here, two against one there, but then it's inconsistent with anybody because we won't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And yet a third case, which was Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, so you end up with something that's completely inconsistent. Someone who attempts to learn halacha, lehalacha, from the Sugya in the Gemara, always ends up miserable. Because as he goes through it, this is insane. There's nothing in the Gemara that ended up coming out la-alaha. Because since I did pasuk this way here, this way there, so I end up with an approach to Torah that's inconsistent. Now, the truth is that that is a very serious problem for people who lose the awareness of the permutations of Torah. So if you believe there is a particular truth in Torah, then you will be driven absolutely bananas by it. And the only thing that will happen to you in the end is that you'll take the Sephardic approach. Just learn halacha, add up the shitot. Of course, that has nothing to do with learning. You know, and that's almost a computerized thing, which is what the rabbinate has become. Now, here's the rules. Can you pass the test on the rules? It's a joke. There's nothing to do with it. You require no ability to learn at all. Any college student can do that. But if you're going to make this into something that is real, then it's the greatest challenge is recognizing how it is that there's the interwoven results that have come from a multiplicity of approaches that nonetheless are able to all express themselves in a symphonic asiya that works la-alaka. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef says, look, this is a very important nakuda over here. Rebbe himself doesn't hold of any of this, maybe. I don't know how Rebbe himself holds. But the Mishnah is constructed in a way that interweaves different shitot. So this is Rebbe, and he's Nasivla Alibet Tanoi. That's all that it is. So that these are basically ways to hold on to threads. By the way, the word siv is actually a thread. So Nasivla Alibet Tanoi. So he is creating this Mishnah as a weave of different shitot. When it came to Yediot, he was Nasiv like Rabbi Ishmael. When it came to Shavuot, he's Nasiv like Rabbi Akiva. And indeed, the Mishnah is inconsistent. Om Revashi. You know what happened? I told over what Rabbi Yosef said to Rav Kahana. I'm reading the Shema to the commander of Rav Kahana. And he said, it's not true. It happens to be that this is not a matter of Rebbe weaving a Mishnah out of inconsistent Shitot. It happens to be that Rebbe himself personally holds La Halacha like Rabbi Akiva here and like Rabbi Ishmael there. He wasn't just taking arbitrarily different shitot in order to weave a web of Shnayim Shem Arba. By the way, again, you'll know from modern language, computerese, that the idea of a thread is central in maintaining your sense of what is happening in a program or in a search and so on. We use that word, thread, which is a thread. String is a different meaning. It doesn't mean the thread in the sense at all. String is something else to mean. But threads, yes. And that's exactly this idea, Nasivla. So the Gemara everybody recognizes that the Gemara exists as basically, certainly everybody sees that it's a hypertext document. It keeps plopping back into various issues that appear in all kinds of different places, that you pop back and forth the way you would on a hyperlink. But not only that, it's also constructed as nested discussions. So you start off with something, you pop into something that had brought up in order to work out the Shittot. You can go down yet another level, come back up to the top, and so on. There's no other document, up until very recent, computer documents that work this way. So the idea of finding a thread here is also consistent with the approach that Rebbe took. So Rav Ashi is claiming there's no Nasivla. This is all Rebbe's own personal research. And he said, Lo Tema, do not say it in that fashion. that Rebbe Nosiv La Alibat Tanoi, which would mean that he personally, Leilo Sphirle, it's not his personal approach. That's not true. I can show you that Rebbe actually holds and stands by what he is saying in this Mishnah. And it happens to be that this is Rebbe Taima Danavshe Mefarish. He indeed holds when it comes to Idiot HaTumah, like Rebbe Yishmael, and when it comes to the question of Shvot Shtayim, he holds like Rebbe Akiva. Because of that, this Mishnah represents the consistent Shita of neither Rebbe Akiva or Rebbe Yishmael, but the consistent Shita of Rebbe. Let me show this to you, the Tanya. Minayin she'ino chayav, ela al she'yesh ba yediyah betchilav, yediyah besof, ve'elem benatay. And how can I show you? Now this is not Rebbe. How can I show you, says Rebbe Akiva, that you're chayav only on the yediyah betchila, yediyah besof, and a helem in the middle, which of course everybody agrees to. But the problem is the makor. Talmud lomar, v'ne'elam, Shnei Pami, Divrei Rebbe Akiva. Now, as we saw before, what we have in that opening pasuk in the sugya of Korban Olah V'Yoreid is that it talks about Nefesh Ki Tiga, etc., etc., V'ne'elam Mimenu, V'hu Tamei, and then it says again, O Ki Yiga B'Tumat Adam, V'ne'elam Mimenu, V'hu Yada. Now, it only says the Ne'elam Mimenu, V'hu Yada once. The problem is that the word V'hu Yada occurs after the word that it was Ne'alami men of Uyada. So a simple reading of the pasuk implies that it's nothing that is different than any other karma. You didn't realize what you were doing, and then Uyada, you found out at the end, and therefore you're chayav karma. But how do we come out with the idea, the way the pasuk is constructed, how do we come out with the idea that it's actually referring to an original idea, and then forgetting, and then coming back and remembering? So I'll leave it to Rebbe Akiva. What we're saying is the first V'ne'elam, which comes together, V'ne'elam imenu v'hu tameh, teaches me the din that the helem is limited to helem tuma. Then when it says in the next pasuk, V'ne'elam imenu v'hu yada, so that extra, V'ne'elam imenu, we understand that we certainly don't need to delve v'hu yada in order to bring the carbon, because obviously if there was no yediyah, we wouldn't be talking to anybody. So that's a given. So we understand that v'hu yada is as if it's written before that last V'ne'elam. And therefore, it means that there had to have been a yediyah betchila. Mashen Ken Rebbe says, "Eino tzorich, what do I need to have a pasuk to tell me that there needs to be a yediyah betchila? If I say the word v'ne'alam doesn't mean that I didn't know. The word v'ne'alam means that I forgot. Well, if I forgot, then I must have known in the first place. Therefore, we basically have an unnecessary second v'ne'alam to add the ha'alamot of not only Tuma in terms of Migdash and in terms of Kodesh, but also forgetting Migdash in terms of Tuma and Kodesh in terms of Tuma. Now, this happens to be precisely what it is that Rabbi Yishmael said. So we see that he holds of Rabbi Yishmael. So then when it says v'hu yada, then that means there's two yediyot. V'hu yada. Harei kan shtei yediyot. What then is the meaning of saying v'ne'elam twice? So if you dash and I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva that you need v'ne'elam twice to tell me that there's an additional yediyah, that's all very sweet. But then I don't know that there are two ha'alamot. There's only one ha'alama. Whereas Rabbi says on the other hand, now wait a minute, I don't need that. I already know from the word v'ne'elam that you once knew. If it says v'ne'elam v'hu yada, what does that tell me? That tells me everything that Rabbi Akiva just said. V'ne'elam, what he knew, v'hu yada, after forgetting it. Isn't that what it says? Forget about the extra ne'alam. When you yourselves would have read the word, v'ne'alam v'hu yada, would you not have come out with the understanding that you once knew something, and then you forgot about it, and then you found out about it? V'hu yada. Okay. Why then do I need another v'ne'alam? I'll tell you why I need another v'ne'alam. To teach me, says Rebbe, that you're chayav not only on the ha'alamat tum'ah, but that you're also chayav on the halama of the Migdash or the Kodesh. Therefore, excuse me, Rabbi Yosef, but Rabbi is saying, beferish, that he holds not like Rabbi Akiva, he holds like Rabbi Yishmael. And that there is indeed an extra drasha that tells me from the extra ne'alam, it tells me that you're chayav either on the halama of the simple halama of Hu Tamei v'ne'alam, or the additional halama of Migdash and Kodesh. Very simple. So don't give me this business Nasivla Alibid Rishmal. It wasn't Nasivla Alibid Rishmal. He personally darshans exactly like Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, says Rabbi Yosef, fine. So Ashkechan b'yidiot. What you're telling me is that the part about yidiot atuma is Rebbe's personal opinion, not just the nasiv one. So you've proven that b'yidiot itlo taimid enafshe, and that's Rebbe. Okay, now I'd like to see whether that's true about Shvuot, because you're claiming that this is consistently Rebbe. Shvuot, should some change the gears to the itle time of the nafshe, which is, makes much more sense. Shvuot the itle time of the nafshe, we know. Show me that when it comes to Shvuot, that he also holds this as his own approach. Now, the other way of reading it, which is the simple reading of the Gemara here, Shvuot the letle time of the nafshe, means when it comes to Shvuot, where Rebbe never addresses this drush. So we do not see him in any way openly siding now with Rabbi Akiva. How do you know that in that case he does hold of Rabbi Akiva? Minole. And here, amazingly, we get into the fundamental difference between Rabbi Akiva, his general approach to Torah, and Rabbi Shmuel's general approach to Torah, which is the difference between Klal Prat or Klal, or all of the Midah Shatar Nidreshapan that are expressed in the various types of Klal, which Rabbi Yishmael is the one who darshans in the Sifra, in this famous bright, of all the lists and the examples of the various limudim, so klal uprat, klal tzarech uprat, all those things that we read, you know, every once in a while, if you have enough time to do the pre-Kaddish readings in the morning. So all of that is Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Yishmael, we know, darshans with the approach of klal prat or klal. And since we know that Rabbi darshans with ribu yomiyute, I'm going to prove to you that that itself is the difference in being able to learn that Shvuos are Shtayim Shein Arba or not. And it'll turn out that consistently, he, Rebbe, has to hold like Rabbi Akiva in that argument with Rabbi Yishmael. What do you think about that? Let's take a look at this. Rabbi Akiva, my time of Kamechayev L'Sha'avar. How does Rabbi Akiva know that even though what it says in the Pasuk, remember, when it comes to Shavuot, was Lahara Oleiti. Lahara Oleiti means something that will happen in the future. It hasn't happened yet. He will, he says, he will eat this bowl of soup today. Or he will not eat this bowl of soup today. That's all it says. Now you want to extend that into a whole new type of Shavuot, into the past, in which the person says, I did eat a bowl of soup today. Different concept, it would certainly seem like. How does Rabbi Akiva get off by saying that we can extend L'hara Le'etev into the past? Well, the reason that he says this is because he's Doresh with a Ribui and a Miut. Now, the difference in general, gentlemen, please pay attention just for a moment so that we can get the difference between Klal Prat or Klal, Ribui, Miut, Ribui, because that's going to be crucial to understanding the whole circuit. Klal Prat or Klal, in general, works with the approach to Torah that every word is meant to define a general idea. So if the Torah now goes ahead and gives you a general idea without being very specific, that general idea is meant to be approached as an overall concept. If it then gives an example, and that's all that you'll have is a general idea followed by an example, so then we understand that that example has redefined the general idea. This is the idea, but this is the only way to carry it out. That's called Klal Prat. If I add a klal to that, then that klal is making it clear to me, I didn't mean that to be the only example. I meant that to define the nature of the rule. So therefore, look at anything that would be sharing a common denominator with the example I gave you. Limit the rule to things that share those common denominators. That's klal prat or klal. The approach of ribui umiyute is that the Torah is not interested in providing you the information of what the particular issues are. That's always going to be up to you to use your brains for. And therefore, when something is said and it's left undefined, it's meant to be open-ended. That's called a ribui. If subsequently I now give you an example, the example is not meant to redefine that ribui. The example is essentially meant to limit in some way the application of that ribui, such that if there's a ribui subsequently, it's telling me, if it had just given the example, then it would have left it up to your brains to figure out why that was the example. So then that would have been similar, just a ribui or miyuti would have been similar to a klal prat or klal, according to Rabbi Yishmael. But if there's a subsequent ribui, then the subsequent ribui is coming to tell me, I did not mean to use that case as a model. And therefore, you would say the opposite. A klal, rather, klal says, what's the rule? Ein bechlal, ele ke'ein aprat. So it's marva kol dover shu ke'ein aprat. Anything which is similar to the prat, so that the prat becomes now the model. Anything that fits this model, it creates a set of things. Ribui miut does that in a different way, but it ends up being the same thing. But if I have a ribui miut followed by a ribui, then what the Torah must be saying is, don't make sets. Keep it the way I originally said it. It's open-ended. Why then is there an example? To tell you, don't go overboard. Now, don't go overboard means exclude the most unlikely possible thing that this could have extended to. We're going to go now and give a few examples in the Gemara in order to establish what it is that Rebbe holds about klal prat uklal. So now it happens to be that when it came to the issue of reading the parsha of Shavuot, the truth is that we really are stuck with these differences in a very powerful way. So in the context here of ribui miut ribui, the understanding of the pasuk legabe Shavuos also makes a tremendous, tremendous difference. Because we need to read it like this. You start the pasuk, v'nefesh ki tishava. That nefesh ki tishava is a ribui that would mean any type of shvua whatsoever, future, past, whatever you want. When you now add the words of lahara o lahitiv, so now you're being memayit that ribui, and you're saying it has to be similar to lahara o lahitiv. Now that lahara o lahitiv would mean that it would have to be la'aba. And that would be the equivalent of the klal prat uklal altogether. So that it doesn't really mean that it's redefined the klal. All that it means is that that original ribui, which is not a klal, is meant to be limited to things such as this. But it's not that I've defined it. Now the difference is, because then when I add another ribui, which I do here, because I say after la'ra la'etiv, it says l'chol asher yivateh b'sfatayim. So that means anything at all, once again. That means that I need to exclude only the thing that is most unlike that thing in its entirety. And that, if you're darshaning ribui miut ribui, is only memayit, somebody who now makes a shvua to try to be mevatel a mitzvah. Now that is completely, completely different than the overall sense of what is in my power to arbitrarily make a shvua about. In this case, I'm trying to run against that which is given in the Torah. So it's telling me that that is not included in the parsha of shvuas. If I would darshan klal prat uklal, then I'm limited to saying that the what we were calling a miut, the lahara la'etiv, is the definition of a set that's created by the two klalim on either side, which now bracket that prat and say this prat is meant to extend it to all things that are similar to it. But then the things that are similar to it are only the type of shvuot that are liatid and that are commitments to do things, and not anything that would just be a shvua about what was true or wasn't true back in the past. I would have now a completely different approach, I'd have to say. Just like la'ra la'etiv is something which is future-oriented, so too, anything which is future-oriented, such as things perhaps which include neither ara avat ava, would fit the model of ara avat ava. And we only use ara avat ava as an example of things that people are generally interested in talking about. Because they don't talk about paravat things that nobody's concerned. But so what? So that means if you darshan ribui o miut when it comes to Shavuos, you're going to have a much broader approach, right?
Because in ribui miut, it can go beyond the miut.
The miut is not a model.
While in klal prat,
it can't go beyond the information of the model, because it creates a set. So since Rabbi Akiva holds that Shnayim Shein Arba, the source of Shnayim Shein Arba, according to Rabbi Akiva, is the din of ribu miyute, and that the lahara la'etiv is not a model, it's because of that that he's willing to extend it even into the past, which if you learn klal prat uklal is insane. What do you mean into the past? The whole point of the model is to tell me we're talking about shvuas of the commitment ilk, not shvuas of the veracity ilk. I mean, you got to be nuts to extend that into the past if you don't klal prat uklal. So it's only because of the power of ribui and miut that we're left with the idea of just exclude one very far-fetched thing. Now, since that happens to be the case, if I can prove to you that Rebbe's general approach to Kol HaTorah Kula is the equivalent of Rebbe Akiva's approach to Kol HaTorah Kula, then there's no choice but to conclude that Rebbe would agree with Rebbe Akiva when it comes to Shvuah Shtayim Shein Arba. So even though Rebbe may not have addressed this particular case, which you just pointed out, the Letlay time and the Nafshe, that's irrelevant to me. When I tell you that Rebbe's going to agree with Rebbe Akiva, I know of what I speak. And I'll prove to you that Rebbe, too, is Doresh Ribi Umiyuti. Here's what I'm going to prove to you. Rebbe Nami Doresh Ribi Umiyuti. How can I show that to you? Detani. Rebbe Omer, Bechol Podim Bechor Adam, Chutz Min Hashtarot. V'Rabbanan Amre, Bechol Podim Bechor Adam, Chutz Min Avadim, V'Shtarot, V'Karkaot. Now this machlokas is based on a question of Ribi Umiyuti versus Kol Prado Kol. Can I give a check to a coin for pidyon on that? No. But everybody agrees to that. But can I give a slave, perhaps, to a coin? Can I give a piece of land to the coin by giving him the deed to the land? And that should be the pidyon aben. Now that is a machloket between Rebbe and the Rabbonin. And we explain over there that my timer, or v'amrinan b'maikam miflagei, Rabbonin darshi klali oprati, Rebbe darshi rubi yibuti. That's the tikkun of the girsa of the Bach, but the idea is the same. So Rebbe is dorish ribi umiyuti. The posuk goes like this, ufeduyav mi ben chodesh. Now that is simply saying the redemption. What is a redemption? Anything that redeems, whatever, something that has monetary value. Riba. Okay. Then the posuk says, be'erkecha kesev chameshet shkalim. You have to have 5 pieces of silver in your hand. Okay, that's a need. Then it says tifteh. It repeats the word tifteh, which is now a riba. Chozar v'riba. The rule. The rule is this, gentlemen. Riba umiet v'riba. Is riba hakol, except for one far-fetched item. So riba hakol, meaning what? My riba, konili, anything. Land, slaves, anything you like. And what thing would be completely dissimilar and would be the last thing you would want to be marbe, my miet shtarot. Because a shtar is a piece of paper. It has no innate value. It bears no resemblance whatsoever to the example that was given, which of the miyad, which is if it doesn't have any innate value, then you can't use it. So we're agreed. Shtarot is possible. The Rabbanan say, no. You can't give a piece of land. You can't give a slave because the Torah created a set. Because there is no riboy miyad riboy. There's a klal prat klal. So Rabbanan dasha klal prat. Let's do that. Peduyav mi ben chodesh. That's a klal, right? Tifteh. First tifteh is a klal. Berakacha kesef chamesh shkalim is a prat. Then you go back and you say tifteh. You now have a klal prat or klal, okay? Because chazar v'kalal. The rule being what? Klal prat or klal. Iyatadan elekeina prat. You have to look at the set that was created by the interaction of the klal prat or klal. What is that set? Tell me what the model is. Okay, the model is the prat is mefurash. First of all, it is movable. Piece of silver is movable. It's a davar hamitaltel. Furthermore, it has innate value. And it's gufo mamon, okay? So now I am going to conclude that anything that fits this general rule, it's movable and has innate value. Well, obviously, real estate, by definition, the whole point of real estate is that it's not movable. So right off the bat, you cannot give a kohen a field for pidyon aben. Okay? But, by the same token, you cannot give him an eved, because an eved has, in the pasuk, is compared in the dinim of nachala to real estate. And therefore, the Torah is telling you, avadim are out as well. So, yotzu karkaot she'ina metaltalim, yotzu avadim, because they're in general shula karkaot, yotzu shtarot. Now, shtarot can be movable, but en gufan mamon, they have no innate value, and therefore they don't fit the model of mamon. Okay? There you go. Here is Rebbe, and he's telling you very clearly, I hold Vidarshan with Riboy Miyot Riboy, and it's a very significant difference. According to me, you can use a piece of land to be pigeon up in. Okay, so then that means he agrees with the Rebbe Akiva in the general approach to Torah. If he does, then we're stuck with the fact that he holds that there's going to be a Riboy Miyot when it comes to Shur Shtayim, and we're going to hold Shur Shtayim is Shein Arba, because we have a Riboy Miyot Riboy. How do you like that? Says the Gemara, wait a minute over here. Something is terribly wrong. You're claiming that Rebbe's general approach to Kol HaTarakula is that he's Darsh Ribu Miyuti. I know that Rebbe Darsh is Klal and Prat from other examples. Rebbe is Klal Yoprati Darsh. And he follows the approach of Rebbe Yishmael, not of Rebbe Akiva. Let me prove that to you. And then, of course, I'm going to have a problem. I'm going to have to figure out why here it would be any different. But in any event, Marzea. Now, here we're talking about a case where someone was an Eved Ivri, and he does not want to go out after working his 6 years. He's got his kids that he had from the Shvachot that were given to him by the Adon. And so it says over there, V'lakachta ta marzea v'natata bazno v'adelet, Vayalecha Eved Olam. Okay. That word Martzea. Now, Martzea is a particular metal tool, a pick. Now, do I have to put a pick through his ear, or is this an example beyond? So, Netanya, Martzea, Ineel Martzea. How do you know that a sharpened piece of wood, a pencil, can I put a pencil through his ear? Can I take a thorn, a syrup from a bush and put it through his ear? Can I take a machat, a needle? Can I drill through his ear, a magdeach? Can I take the point of a pen or a stylus, a machtev? Can I use those things or must I use a pick? Talmud Lomar, well, vilakachta. Vilakachta means kol davar shilukach biyad. Devei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. He holds vilakachta means, look, anything that you can hold in your hand that manages to make a hole in an ear is fine. Rebbe says, now wait a minute, wait, it says martzea. A martzea is a metal tool, and therefore you are limited to metal tools. Afkosho matechet. Now what does that machlokus base itself on? So we analyze it there, the amrinan, and we say, but my kamiflege, what indeed is the machloket about this whole sugya in Kiddushin? Rebbe darshens klali uprati, and Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, is darshe ribui and miute. That exactly is the difference. He says, velakakta is anything. Take something in your hand. That's a klal. Martzea is a prat. Venatata bazno is anything that would go through his ear. Is another klal. Klal prat or klal, says Rebbe, has to be similar to the prat. If the prat is metal, you certainly have no right to go beyond that. So fine, maybe use a needle. But you can't take a thorn and just, I mean, there's other issues obviously as well. We don't have to get into over here. But that's the minimum, is that it's a metal tool. Whereas if you learn that it's ribui o miyute, then all you want to do is to be mamayit something that bears nothing at all in, what is that? What would bear no comparison whatsoever, chemically burning through his ear. So that's the only thing that we're going to be mamayit. Putting on a chemical to make a hole in his ear. To burn through his ear. Fine. That's something else. So that the only thing that is completely out of range, and by the way, I would have included that also if it wouldn't have been for the one example. But because there's one example, it's telling me there needs to be some range here. So go, what would be the lowest level of your idea of be'azno? The lowest level in terms of its connection to being an effective tool to make a hole in your ear is the use of a chemical to make a hole. No, it's not a tool, it's not metal. Okay, we have to decide how, what the issue is. That's a different question. Could you use a laser? But again, that would mean that we're going to analyze what we mean by be'ozno and see whether the chemical is least likely or laser is least likely. But in any event, that would be the machlokas, whether it's ribui or miyute, which means that you now have just proved the opposite of what Reb Yosef. I mean, what we were proving, sorry, against Reb Yosef was by Rav Kahn, right? So how do you explain this? Ooh. Yes, totally mutually exclusive. No, unless you, we'll see. There may be meta rules as to when to apply klal prat or klal, and when to apply ribui miyute, and that's exactly what we're getting into now. Answers the Gemara, well, you are right that I did not mean to say that under any and all circumstances he would, Rebbe, have applied the din of ribui miyute. In truth, normally, the Alma, he does darshan klal prat. The reason that over here, Hacha, when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, the reason that he reads it as a ribui miyute is because it's an improperly formed klal prat or klal. Why is it improperly formed? Is Kitatana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. The Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. We have a machloket about how to understand the Torah's definition of what is considered to be an iser of sheketz hamayim. Now, what the Torah says is, etzet tochlu mikol asher bamayim, kol asher los napir vekaskeset bamayim, bayamim uvanechalim, otam tochelu. Now, what does it mean when it says bamayim, bayamim uvanechalim? So we have a big machlokas about whether we are talking about dafka things like yamim unechalim. Is this a klal prat or klal? So that when we talked in the beginning, mikol asher b'mayim, this would define any and all type of water. Then if it would have mentioned by yamim unechalim, I would have said, if I'm coming to a yam and a nachal, then I need to have snapir v'kaskesa. But suppose I dip my head into a cistern, and it's full of all kinds of bugs and things that do not have anything Let's not birvakas keset. The Torah doesn't aser me to drink that. I can drink anything I want. There's no din of snap birvakas keset on a cistern containing water. Only yamim u'nechalim. And that we have a machlokas. The Tanya, the very Rabbi Shmuel, b'mayim, b'mayim, shnei pa'amim, ein zeh klal prat. Note that it does not first say b'mayim, then say b'yamim u'nechalim, and then properly close the klal prat or klal with b'mayim. And therefore, says Rabbi Shmuel, I cannot, in this case, use the general rule of klal prat or klal, because klal prat or klal needs to be formed as a klal prat or klal. It's that the Torah is attempting to give me a set. A properly constructed set is balanced between an opening klal and a closing klal, which tells me, look, see this bracket, the klal bracket. See the prat as bracketed inside of a set. But if I don't have a klal at the beginning and a klal at the end, then I'm missing the brackets. You try to do that at a computer program and watch what happens. Same thing happens here. The klal protocol breaks down. I can't use it. There's no indication in the Torah that this is meant to be a bracketed set. So therefore, in this case, it's a ribuy umiyuti, says Rabbi Yishmael, and we cannot view it as a klal prado klal. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, they say, Amravina, k'diyam ribi marava, well, you know in Eretz Yisrael what they do with this type of situation. They say that the way that it's written in the pasuk is unimportant. It's the way we construct the program that's important. And therefore, kol makom, any place like this, where you find two klalot next to each other. The approach is, take the prat, stick it between the brackets yourself. The Torah doesn't have to set it up for you. It's giving you all the ingredients. Two klals and a prat. In this case, one prat and two klals, followed by two klals. Two klals followed by the prat. Yami menacholim. So therefore, take the prat away from the end, stick it in the middle. And do name bechlal uprat. So now what you can do is you have a normal klal prat uklal. Practical distinction between the two shitas, even though everybody's agreed that borot is certainly excluded. The question is, what about things that are not quite cisterns, but that are elongated where places where rainwater is gathered along a way in which it streams for a while and then sits there. They're called haritz and then eats. But the important thing is that this brings us into the machlokas of what consists of a properly formed klal protocol. And that's very important for us to understand here, because we need to understand the difference between where it is that Rebbe follows the approach, as he normally does, of klal prado klal, and where it is that there's something about the way that the Torah writes it that makes it into a ribuyon miyute. And that would explain why it is that when we went here in our sugya to understand Rebbe as being always derech ribuyon miyute, it was actually a special case because of the peduyim ibn chodesh is being a ribu miyut ribu, because it's not properly formed. Since it's p'duyav, is klal A, tivdem, even kodesh tivdem, is klal B, and only there it has berkachar kesef chamesh shkolim. So it's shnei klalim. First, it's klal smuchas bahadadi, and he doesn't hold a vatel prat b'nei v'dunim b'klal prat u'klal, but rather he holds that we have to view this as ribu miyut ribu. Okay, that happens to be the machloket about how to darshan the question of p'duyav miben chodesh tivdem. It doesn't say upeduyav miben chodesh bekesef chamesh shkolim tifte. It says the peduyav miben chodesh tifte two klals chamesh shkolim kesef. Take the prat and put it between the two klals or not. That's the machlokas, but it's not the universal machlokas of klal prat or klal versus ribu yomiyute. Uh oh. So now the whole thing broke down, because now Rebbe, in the case of Shavuos, where you do not have this issue, would in fact not follow the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, that we go according to Ribu Yom Yute. Rebbe would have said, what do you mean this is a typical klal prado klal? In which case, Yividafka would not have held of Rabbi Akiva. He would have held of Rabbi Yishmael's approach. And he would have said, well, the model is something that is the type of shvua which defines a commitment, not the type of shvua that talks about the past. So he certainly would not have been able to learn out the kiva of carbon oil of a yoreid any more than Rabbi Yishmael would have. So now you can no longer say what you said, Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana was saying, no, there's no reason to say that this is a threaded Mishnah. This Mishnah represents the well-thought-out shittas of Rebbe. That's not true. Rebbe does not hold that this is Ribui Miyuti in the case of Shavuos, because it is a well-formed klal prado klal, and he seems to follow the sheet of Rebbe Yishmael as long as it's well-formed. Which it is. So what's the problem now? Then you're going to have to go along with Rabbi Yosef's approach. Says Rav Kahana, how about if we just polish Rabbi Yosef's approach? Okay? I did not mean to say that the Mishnah is consistently Rebbe. But what I did mean to say is that it's going too far to attribute to Rebbe a desire to thread a Mishnah arbitrarily to create Shnayim Shein Arba. Three out of these four cases are indeed Rebbe consistently. Because I did show you that Rebbe actually does hold now of the sheet of Rebbe Yishmael when it comes to Yediyas HaTumah from the Exit of the Ne'alam, correct? So then what I should have said is this. I should have said that Bishvuot, it's true, I agree with you only about one piece of this, you see. You said when it came to the Din of Ha'alamot and Shvuot, he was Nasivla. No. When it came to the Din of Ha'alamot, that's his personal Shita. It's true, when it comes to the Din of Shvuot, that is, in fact, his attempt to thread now Rabbi Akiva into the Mishnah in order to create this Shnayim Shena Arba Mishnah. And indeed, Leilo Sfirale, you've just proven to me, and I have to accept that Rebbe actually would have darshan klal prado klal and would not have agreed. But it's still, you cannot conclude from here. You see, there's no point in this discussion other than to ultimately tell me how it is that Rebbe goes about constructing the Mishnah. And that's important to us, because it's the question of whether indeed a Mishnah can be looked at as an arbitrary construct from all of these different shittot, because it's trying to bring out the possible patterns that come out. Whether what Rav Kahana is, he's literally arguing with Rav Yosef about this. He's saying, you're taking it too far. We do not see an example here of Rebbe arbitrarily threading a Mishnah, which may not represent his own sheet at all, going with two Tanoim against each other consistently. They're not against each other, because there's one external shita over here in out of four, and that's all that we see. So he brings in, indeed, Rabbi Akiva shita here, despite the fact that personally he doesn't hold it. So b'mayu kimta now to Rabbi Yishmael ulamalkot. So how do you explain Marat Nagoyim, my malkotika? Well, because it's b'harto. Krebav and Omer Rabbi Law. Since it says Yishamer b'nega atzarat, and Omer Rebav and Omer Rabbi Law, ko makom shenemar Yishamer, or pen, or al, eno elo lo taaseh. And how about Yitziyot HaShabbat? My Malkot, Ika, isn't it a love shittat lazarat mitat betin? B'chol love shittat lazarat mitat betin. Ein lo kin alam, b'shamachi komuk minik Rabbi Yishmael. Do you have a love shittat lazarat betin? Lo kin alam. What are you telling me? This is the only reason you're going to Rabbi Yishmael. What, if not for this, kaimak Rabbi Akiva? How did you explain Yitziyot HaTumah? Well, why not? Love Amrit Rabbi Yishmael, Rulam Malkot. You can have exactly the same thing that it's Rabbi Akiva ulamalkot. What's the problem? Mihachi, why does it say yidiot? It should say hatraot. Holokash, t'ni yidiot hatraot. Mihachi, shtayim shein arba. It started to happen. Not to mention the two. Et sheesh ba yidiya betchila, yidiya besof. What in the world? Yidiya betchila, yidiya besof. Ain't a bit of time. There's no halama for malkus. My avidate. The two. Arezi ba'olavi oreid. Elam Rabbi Yosef Rabbi, Nasiv Alibet Tanoi, Bidiot, Nasiv like Rabbi Shmuel, and Bishvot, Nasiv like Rabbi Akiva. Om Rav Ashi, Amrit Rishmaite, Kamedi Rav Kahana, Vamarli, that's not true. Lo Tema Rabbi Nasiv La Alibet Tanoi, Vele Lo Sfirale. Rabbi is talking about time in an Afshi, Kama Farish. The Tani, Minayin, Sheno Chayav Ela Sheish, Ba Yediyah Betchila, Yediyah Besof, Ve'elem Ben Atayim. Talmud Omar v'ne'alam, shnei pa'amim. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Omer, eno tzarich. Harei Omer v'ne'alam. What ain't two v'ne'alams? Obviously v'ne'alam, he must have known about it. Mechlav yada. So why does he have to say v'u yada? And there's shtei yadiyot. Echad b'tchila v'echad b'sof. So why do I need two alamot? Matav alam v'ne'alam v'ne'alam. That's to add, helen tuman, helen mikdash. Okay, now you see that Rebbe holds exactly what Rabbi Yishmael held. Okay, that's Ashkem Yidiyot, where over there Rebbe has his own time in an Afshe. Shvuot, the letli time in an Afshe, minol, and this virle. Well, I mean, think about it. Rabbi Akiva, my tamaka b'chayiv l'shavar, only because he's dorsh ribui miyuti. Well, Rebbe nami dorsh ribui miyuti. Tanya, Rebbe omer b'cho podin b'chor adam, chutz min ashtarot. So my time in the Rebbe Dorsh Ribuyum Yute, ufeduyav miben chodesh riba, berakal kesef chamesh shkolim miyet, tivteh chozav riba, riba miyet riba, riba akol. Okay, so my riba, riba kol miyet. My miyet, miyet shtarot. Whereas the rabbanon adorish kol yoprate, ufeduyav miben chodesh klal, berakal kesef chamesh shkolim prat, tivteh chozav kalal, klal prat v'klal, iata danelak in aprat, ma'aprat v'fush dover metaltel v'gufo mamon, I've called the Metatov Gufo Mamon. So first of all, real estate is out of the running. Yotzer Karkot and Metatlim, Avadim or Hukshila Karkot are also Yotzer. Yotzer Shtarot, Avapisha Metatlim, but Ain Gufan Mamon. Amalei Ravina La'Meimar, what is he talking about? That Rebbe's Dorsh Rebbe Miyute? You know that Rebbe's Dorsh Klole Oprate. The Tanya Marzeya, Marzeya, in the Ela Marzeya. How do you know Sol, Sirah, Machat, Makdeach, Machtev? Talmud Lomar v'lakachta b'chol davar shenil kach b'yadim Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Omer, Marzeya, Mar Marzeya Miuchat Shamatechet, Av Kol Shamatechet. Now we explained over there, I mean, but Michael Mifflege, Rabbi is Dorish Kalei Oprate, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is Dorish Rabbi Miyate. And well, it's true, B'alma, he really is Dorish Kalei Oprate. The reason that B'duyav, B'ben Chodesh, Tifteh, is a Ribu Yomiyute, is because, oh, at a time at get a ton of devei Rabbi Yishmael. The ton of devei Rabbi Yishmael, ba'mayim, ba'mayim, shnei pa'amim, ein zeklal prat, el ribi umiyu. V'rabbonan, om revina kini, am ribi ma'arava, kol makom, sh'ata motzi shtei klalot asbuchot zelazet, hatel prat b'nihem, v'dunim b'klal prat. Hashta de'amar, the Rebbe, klal prat idorich, so now we got a problem. Senem ba'kor ha'kash ha'shvot in the Mishnah. This is another shvot. That's true, that part, Bishvuot Nasiv, Alibi Rabbi Akiva, Velela Sphere like that, I, Rav Kahana, agree with Rabbi Yosef that there's some element of Nasiv like that.